There's a lot of discussion about end times, like end times just started last week. There's panic. Do you understand that Joel said, in the last days, I'll pour my spirit out upon all flesh? Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost. That would probably been about, you know, this sounds crazy, but Jesus was actually born 6 years after he was born. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Jesus was born, and people like to say he was born in zero or one, but he was actually born in 6 A.D. Not A.D., but year 6. Because Julius Caesar's calendar was messed up. We learned this in college. It's the only thing I remember from college. And so, from the 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, Peter stands up and preach, this is that what was spoken by the prophet Joel, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So coming to the last days is not something new. It's been hanging around for about 2,000 years. But the interesting part about the last days is that seemingly the church doesn't know what to do by it. We don't have the last days so we can panic. We don't have the last days so we can look at things, sit in our lazy boy and wait for Jesus. We don't have the last days and we're coming into a place of hopelessness and despair and frustration. That's not what it's about. It's not about living in fear or living in panic or wondering what's coming next or wondering what's going to happen. There's a message in the last days, and the message is people need Jesus. And Jesus someday is coming. Now listen, don't blame or don't focus your eschatology, study of the end times, on people's doctrine. Get in the Word of God. The Word speaks about Christ coming. And it does talk about the fact that the gospel is going to be preached to all the people groups, all the nations. There are still some people groups that haven't heard the gospel. And so there are things that we need to look at. Look at Matthew 24 with me. Matthew 24, begin reading in verse 3. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when we will see these things, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age. There are three questions there. When will the temple be destroyed? What is the sign of your coming? And when will come the end of the age? Now, what age were they talking about? Could have been the law. It could have been the time of the Jews. There are some questions there that need to be answered. And so Jesus says, Jesus answered and said to them, and I'm just going to take this a little bit verse by verse. Take heed that no one deceives you. Do not allow people's opinion, their knowledge or lack of knowledge, deceive you from what the Word of God says. God's not going to speak to somebody something contrary to His Word. It doesn't happen. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. He knows what's in it. And there's no PSs at the end of the chapters. Right. He says, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Now here's what people interpret of that verse. That many people are going to come, and they're going to say, if Stephen would come and say, I'm the Christ, I know his life. I say, I lived next to him for 13 years. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the fact that a lot of people think that people are going to come and say, we're the Christ. I'm the Christ. Dwight's the Christ. No, he's not. But this is what he's saying. He's saying people are going to come saying that Jesus is the Christ, but they're not going to have any fruit or ministry or life that reflects the fact that they're serving Jesus. Hello? It's true. There's going to be and there is. I just heard of another group of people that were thinking that Jesus and the devil were brothers, and now all of a sudden they're Christian. Good combination. Well, Jesus, who's your brother? Satan. We're bosom buddies. Not quite. And you will hear, listen now, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. Hey, don't panic. There's hope. You will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but what? The end is not yet. Hello? The wars and rumors of wars and nation against nation and things going on is not the end. And so we built up a lot of doctrines about two or three words in a verse or four or five words in a verse, and we don't come to a place where we take everything. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines. I know some of your Bibles leave out pestilences and earthquakes in various places. But listen to this now. This is just the beginning of sorrows. Now look at me. Seriously, look at me. If we are struggling with earthquakes and famines and pestilences, what are we going to do when it gets tough? How many of you had to drive around bodies coming to church this morning? You know, seriously, let's look at stuff. We get into a panic mode, and then for some reason, we lose our spiritual sense of the Word of God, and we start adding stuff to it. I believe all this stuff is happening. I believe everything Jesus said will happen. I'm not denying it. But let's do the work of God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit while we can.
Yes. That's right.
Now, this might get your attention. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. Now, that's something to get a little concerned about. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Can you see any of that happening? How come every other religion is capable of being mentioned in America but Jesus? You talk about Jesus, and man, you're politically way off base. Let's be off base.
That's right.
They will kill you. Do we understand that people are being killed in this world for Christ? Do we understand people are having their heads chopped off? Churches are being burned? Now my question, and it sounds stupid because I know we live in America, but if it's happening in the world, what makes us think it won't come to America? Do you understand what's the biggest threat to political systems? It's people who are living for Jesus.
That's right.
It's people who will die for the name of Jesus. It will be people who don't care. Who is Stephanie? Stephanie who? Herseth? Our former Congress lady? Mm-hmm. Stephanie? I was sitting in, I may have told you this before, I was sitting in Baymont Hotel one Thanksgiving, and we had just come back from Mexico. And we were in some places probably wasn't too safe to be. I know it wasn't too safe to be. And so Stephanie's mom came through from Groton. We were just sitting there talking, and she said, "What do you do?" And I said, "Well, I'm a pastor." She said, "What church?" And a friend of hers, one of the leading campaigners for Stephanie, reffed on our football team with us. And so I know Rob. "Oh, yeah." And she said, "Well, what are you doing here?" I said, "We just got back from Mexico. We came down to have Thanksgiving with our daughter." She said, "Isn't that dangerous?" And I said, "Yeah, but you got to realize something." And she looked at me and said, "What?" I said, "It's not important that I live, but it's important that I do what God told me to do."
That's right. Amen.
Now, if we're totally honest, except for our grandkids and our children and a few other things, heaven looks pretty good compared to Sisseton. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Especially about December. And so, here's the part that hurts. These next verses hurt emotionally. "Then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another." Look at me. Please do. How many of you have ever felt betrayed? Mm-hmm. How much does that hurt? Boy, that's hard. Mm-hmm. I know years ago, I kept a woman from going to prison. And when things fell apart, she was the first one to come against me. You think and say, "Wow." Betrayal. Can I tell you something? Everyone knows people who will someday betray you. Mm-hmm. Offended. There's an amazing group of people in America that are offended. And many of them sit in churches on Sunday. The word offense is the Greek word scandalon, which is a trap. It's the trigger of the trap where you put the bait and you're reaching in there to get the bait and the trap catches you. Offense catch you. And you can't even see that you're offended, but you just start. And it usually leads to hate. You just start hating somebody. Don't go there.
That's right.
Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many have ever been offended? How many are offended with Pastor right now? You just wait to get out of here. But that bait, that trap, and I've messed with bear traps, and they're nothing to mess with. I'm fortunate I still got my hands. Fortunate I'm here. I could be still trapped in it. Take me a long time to chew these fat legs off. But it catches you. It holds you. It doesn't let you go. And it influences every part of your life.
That's right.
How do I stop from being offended? I forgive before something happens to me.
Amen.
I let it go. I let it go. But what do you do when things offend you? You deal with them before the offense comes. If we know that people are going to betray us, I'm not saying it doesn't hurt, okay? You have emotions and you have feelings and you are human. Jesus even felt the weight of the cross and prayed, "Father, if possible, remove this from me." Now, he didn't just say it. How many times did he say it, Stan? Three. A bunch. You and I, as believers, don't have the right to get offended. Because it leads to a downward spiral in our spiritual life.
That's right.
But this is going to come. This is coming. Raise your right hand with me. Say this with me. I will not. Accept pastor's preaching.
If he gets led away
by a false prophet,
I will believe the truth,
and I will believe the word of God.
Amen.
Don't ever forget that. If I start preaching things that are not true, come to me. How many have ever been deceived? How many knew you were deceived? Mostly not until somebody come and told you. When we are going through deception, we don't realize the deception until somebody warns us that there's deception. And most of the time then we'll deny it. I am not going to stand here preaching to you false doctrine and turn you away from God and lead you to hell. It's not going to happen. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says in the last days many will give themselves to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons and walk away. I am secure in Christ. As long as I'm focused on Him, walking in His Holy Spirit, and living my life. But when I get all messed up, I just, a while back, heard a preacher, charismatic preacher, filled with the Holy Spirit, and suddenly said the whole thing was a myth. I wouldn't want to be in his shoes. I just read in my devotion yesterday, the unpardonable sin is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And what were they doing? They were attributing the works of Jesus to the devil. Who was doing the works for Jesus? The Holy Spirit. Don't play that game. Okay? I love this body enough to be as honest as I can be with you. Because there are people designated by Satan to pull you down. Keep you away. Keep you in the darkness. Keep you questioning. Keep you wondering. Taking you back. I just talked with a young man who picked up some friends this week. All of a sudden, he's got a problem. All your friends aren't your friends.
That's right.
If someone's your friend, they'll want you to live for God and live holy and live righteously and not try to derail your walk in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand if you believe that, because that's true. And because of lawlessness, that means that there's an ungodly freedom where you do whatever you want.
That's right.
Because of lawlessness, the love of many will wax cold.
Let's look at that. First of all, is your love for Jesus growing, or are you just kind of stagnated? I can tell the excitement right now. I mean, it's amazing the excitement in this place this morning. Anybody got a pillow? Is your relationship with God growing, maturing, you walking it out? You say, well, how do I know? I can tell you how you know. Do you love people? A lot of preachers say pastoring would be great if you didn't have to work with people. How do you know? If we come to a place where people are still our enemies, we don't really love God. When we love God, He puts within us a love for all people. Doesn't mean everybody's your bosom buddy. It just means that you love them.
That's right.
Love the Lord thy God with what?
All our heart.
Mind, soul, and strength, and do what? Love your neighbor?
As yourself.
Okay. There's a simple little lesson right here. If you don't love yourself, how can you love your neighbor?
That's right.
Yeah. It's not being on an ego trip.
No.
You can't look at your past life and say, I'm not accepting me no more, because look back there, I did this and I did that and I did something else. Do you know who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament?
Paul.
What did Paul do? He was kind of a nasty guy. You wouldn't have wanted to meet Paul before he met Christ. He'd probably had your head chopped off. That is why, and I use this a lot, I just used it the other day. That's why you have a great big windshield and a little rearview mirror.
That's right, amen.
We're looking ahead, not back.
That's right.
This week is gone.
That's right.
Tell me what you can change about it. The only thing you can do is come to Christ, lay everything before God and say, God, here I am. I blew it, or I failed, or I did something. I'm not a failure because of you. I'm a child of God because you forgive me.
Amen.
We need to walk that out. So I came to a place, and that's why I sit where Curtis is every morning. And I tell God, God, you do the inventory. Holy Spirit, show me what needs to be changed and change it. Too often we just keep going. We're just going to put a foot ahead of foot and walk and say, okay, God, I know I'm bad, but I'm not sure what I'm going to do about it. God says, I know what I want to do about it. I want to kill it. Not you, but it.
Right.
And so God begins to work on our lives 24/7, because we let Him. And when He puts His finger on something, we allow Him to deal with it. Grace is an empowerment to live righteously in the Holy Spirit. It's because of God's grace and God's love that we're saved. It's not something I did or I can do or I'm going to do. It's all about Jesus.
Amen.
Now the Bible says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Look at me. This is not a 100-yard dash. This is a marathon. For the rest of your life, God wants to work in you and make you more like Him. Do not be conformed to this world, but be
transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the Bible says that He wants us conformed to the image of Christ. There's changes that are always happening. And if we don't allow the changes to happen, we're always going to be at the same level we are right now. There's an endurance. There's a race to run. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. What is the joy that Jesus has? Is when we come to Him and when we live for Him.
That's right.
We okay?
Yes, sir.
And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. How many are excited about Christ coming? How many are just enthused that someday you're going to be with the Lord?
Amen.
Then what are you doing about it? If I'm excited that Jesus someday is coming and the gospel's got to be preached to all the nation before He comes, how come I'm at the... whatever. How come my neighbor is still unsaved? Not that you're going to save him, but you're sure going to tell him. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 that we can hasten the coming of the Lord. You ever read that?
Yes, sir.
We can make the coming of the Lord come quicker. How? By reaching people for Jesus.
Amen.
Here's what happens. And I still haven't started preaching yet. I'm getting there. Here's what happens. We spend 9/10 of our time trying to get the same people saved because they're our family or they're our friends. And all the time we're trying to get our family saved, we're walking by people who are hungry for Jesus. And so what happens, our friends may not listen to us and may not want Jesus, so we get all discouraged. Instead of saying, okay, I've told you, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to branch out. Right or wrong? And we need to branch out. I had... breakfast, what day was it? I don't know. Weeks all together. But anyway, it was one day this week. Tuesday or Wednesday. We're sitting there having a good time talking and laughing, and the waitress comes over and says, why are you guys so happy? Oh, I just said, because the food is so great. No. I said, come here, man. His name is Jesus. And she looked at me, didn't know quite what to say. Are you carrying a burden that is robbing your joy? I want to tell you something. Give the burden to Jesus.
That's right, amen.
He says His yoke is easy and His burden is what?
Light.
We weigh ourselves down with things that we can't control. And we are weighed down and we get unhappy and we get ornery and we get... whatever. You got to realize that just with my son-in-law Pete, so I'm trying to get over that. And our lives just never reach that place where we're living in the joy and the peace of God. If you have a burden that's causing you physical illness, if you have a burden that's taking your joy, robbing your peace, tying you up in knots so that you can't do the work of the Lord, you need to get on your knees and give that burden to Jesus and say, God, I'm not carrying it because it's destroying you.
That's right.
You say, but Pastor, you don't know. God does.
Yes, he does.
Not only does God know, he knows what's going to and how it's going to end up. You still give it to God. How long have you been worried about it? Okay, what's changed? Okay, so worry's really working. I'm not picking on you. Yeah. You've tried it for 3 years. Nothing's changed. Let God try it.
That's right.
Just say, God, I'm sorry. I'm giving you this. Take it. I've realized something more than just a cliche. Insanity is doing something over and over and over again and expecting different results. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting or hoping something changes. There has to be a different way. Jesus said, cast your burdens upon me, for I care for you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And if anything is keeping you awake at night and it's because of worry, you need to give it to God.
That's right.
And sometimes the one preaching to you doesn't always do that, but I'm learning. You see, there are things, and they seem so small, but when we're facing obstacles and burdens and problems, somehow we think that us staying awake and worrying and getting upset stomachs and having high blood pressure and doing all the stuff that we do is going to help. It hasn't and it won't. Because you cannot change anybody's life, only God can.
That's true, amen.
So what do we do about all this? I got to get to my notes. I've been shooting off the top of my head. It's time to come to some notes that I don't need to look at. How do I face these things? How do I face these end times? I face them by standing in the power and strength of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you'll be able to stand against the schemes of Satan. How are you facing the devil in your life? How are you responding to what the devil's trying to do to your family? Oh, please, Satan, don't do that. You don't understand that. Smith Wigglesworth and us puppy owners will like this. Saw this lady coming to the bus and her puppy was following her. And so she said, oh, Cody, go back. Cody, go back. That's my dog. That's Judy's dog. Cody, go back. Finally, she got mad and stomped her feet. You go back to the house. Little dog turned, and so all you saw was his tail wagging as he went back to the house. We need to get tough with the devil.
That's right, amen.
Oh, Satan, please don't torment me. Really? Why are we letting him? Be strong in the Lord.
Amen.
The Bible says he always causes us to triumph in 2 Corinthians 2:14. How many of you feel like a victor this morning?
Amen.
We're not victims.
Right.
Don't ever get an entitlement or a victor mentality. It's not for the believer.
Right. That's right. Amen.
We start feeling sorry for ourselves. Interesting verse. It says, gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, prepare your mind for action. In the NIV. When we are going through stuff, we can't give any space in our head to the devil.
That's right.
We need to strengthen our minds, think godly thoughts. Don't come into a place where, oh me or poor me, when you're facing sickness, when you're facing family problems, when you're facing habits, when you're facing things that are going on. Stand.
That's right.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Don't compromise.
Amen.
We need to stand. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'm probably going to let you go in about another hour and a half. 12 says this: By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting or encouraging and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand, or which you are standing. This is the true grace of God in which you stand. I want you to get that. I want you to see that. Go back to chapter 1. I want to give you that whole verse, chapter 1, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. How many of you have a revelation of Christ? Then stand in the grace that He represents. There's more coming. His grace is sufficient because His grace, His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And so as we look at things that are going to come to pass and some that are coming to pass right now, it's not a time to be weak. It's not a time to be afraid. It's not a time to hide. It's not a time to hibernate. It's a time to stand. Having done all to stand, stand. Okay, stand. Just one question. How many of you are now ready to go out there and face the world in the power of the Holy Spirit as a believer of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
You see, we can't blame Satan for our failures. We can't blame Satan for our fears. We can't blame Satan for anything except he's trying to kill us, kill, steal, and destroy. We come to a place where we look inwardly, and when we have Jesus inwardly and the Holy Spirit inwardly, we become strong and we stand against everything that he throws at us.
That's right.
One more thing. That's why I'm so hopeful. If you've listened to me for the last few weeks, it's all hope. It's not a time of despair. It's not a time of fear. It's not a time of running away. God knew that we'd be here, and he trusted us to be here during this time.
Yes.
So God has more hope in you than you have in yourself. And so forget about yesterday. Forget about this week. Forget about 15 or 20 or 30 years ago. Walk it out today.
Amen.
Because he's made us. He's designed us. He did not design you to fail.
That's right.
He didn't design you to be defeated. He designed you to overcome everything. And he's equipped you for that. But we just need to remember. I love this life. I love this time. It's kind of like a no gray area in here. It's white or black.
That's true.
I can deal with that, whether I can deal with a gray area. Now listen, I will speak truth to you. Look at it. Decide if you want to accept it. Make your choice. I believe this morning I've preached to you the Word of God as good as I can. If that's not good enough, we'll see you some other time. But walk it out. Man, walk it out. There's a lot of guilty Christians walking around who say, well, I failed. Well, stop failing. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Look to Jesus. I want to grow up. I want to be strong. I want to eat the meat of God's Word. And I want to regurgitate it to you. Sounds like a pretty good word. But you know something? You got to eat it yourself. Not my regurgitation, but you got to eat it yourself. Let me give you one more verse. Boy, we need this verse. I come across it just before I preached it at the park. And man, it hit me. Listen to this. How many read your Bible? Okay, once a year? Listen to this verse, Romans 15:4. Don't lose this verse. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, say of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Where does my hope come from? Christ. Where does Christ get it to me? Through the Scriptures.